Welcome to tonight's second edition of the MMA After Hour. Right now we're being joined by King Mohammed Lawal's manager, Mike Kogan, on this Tuesday evening, March 27th, 2012. And Mike, first off, thank you very much for the time. I know this has been a very tiring and maybe somewhat surreal day for you following the commission hearing earlier today and now King Mo's release from Strikeforce. If you could just put into words at the top how you're feeling right now, because not only does, you know, King Mo, I guess, work for you, you're his manager, but you're also a very good friend of his.
Yes. Yes. Mo and I are very close friends. He's like a family to me. Sum it all up, I think the most accurate word is disappointed. Just disappointed in today from top to bottom. I think that would probably most accurately sum up everything that has transpired today. It's just disappointing.
Let's work backwards. Don't usually like to work backwards, but I think in this case, we should. What kind of, and I know you got the news from Zuffa that he was being released after this this tweet that he sent out about the commissioner, and we spoke about this at length with Ben Folks on the first edition of the MMA After Hour today. What was the exact reasoning that they gave you for releasing King Mo tonight?
That's the reasoning, because of the tweet and him using the, calling the commissioner a bitch, and that's just unacceptable to Zuffa and unacceptable to, their standards of...
There have been other...
athlete etiquettes.
Right. There have been other sort of controversial moments. I mean, this is MMA and a lot of guys do a lot of things. Do you think that the issue that they had with this tweet was that he called someone a B-word anyone, or was the issue that he called a commissioner, someone in power, someone who oversees UFC events, this kind of word?
I don't know what their reasoning behind it was, because I am not them. So I cannot, I cannot say with a certainty. But... just my personal opinion, if I'd have come out of that meeting and said, Ariel Helwani is a fucking moron because he doesn't know how to report news adequately, and he just misquoted everything Mo said, I doubt we'd be cut. So you draw your own conclusions from that.
And do you think, and this is a question I asked Ben, I'd like to ask it to you as well, and maybe you can give me a better answer. Do you think if King Mo was, let's say, John Jones or Anderson Silva, and he would have tweeted the exact same thing about this commissioner, do you think they would have been cut?
I'll be honest with you, and I'm not big on conspiracy theories. I think if this was John Jones, he probably wouldn't have been asked if he knows how to speak English and read English in the middle of a commission hearing after we have well established the fact that Mr. Lawal is not from Nairobi, but he is actually from Dallas, Texas, and graduated from Oklahoma State University and spent multiple years representing the United States in the U.S. national wrestling team all over the world. We have established all that prior to these stupid questions coming. So I'm not even gonna speculate on what might have or might have not happened with John Jones, but I'm pretty sure they wouldn't ask him if he knows how to speak English.
Okay, so let's go back.
Anderson Silva doesn't speak English, so obviously that's kind of a stupid point.
Well, no, you know what I'm saying. Basically, what people
say... No, I understand.
And it goes back to the Miguel Torres incident, people thinking that there are fighters who are lower on the totem pole who are more perhaps expendable than those higher up and are perhaps on a shorter leash than the major stars. King Mo is obviously a very good fighter, but he fights for Strikeforce, and he's not, in the UFC right now. He's not fighting for a title. That's really what I was getting at. It has nothing to do with John Jones or Anderson.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't know, and I'll tell you why. To a naked eye, one can say that, right? I mean, Jay Volkman is not big on a poll, on the list of celebrities, and he got a visit from the Secret Service because of his comments about the president. Now, you'd think, I'm not trying to downplay the importance of a Nevada State Athletic Commissioner, but I have to say the president of the United States probably is slightly higher on the importance poll, but, he didn't get cut, and, you had Rampage slamming into a woman, and, he was just high on rock star energy drinks, and you know, many things have happened. I mean, Dana himself has numerous occasions said that Steve Mazzagatti is a fucking moron and the worst referee in the world. You know, and Loretta Hunt is a cunt. So I don't know if they get cut based on where they stand in the level in this spectrum of importance. One thing I do know is that Dana has said on numerous occasions that he is interested in finding out both sides of the story. And he, you know, when Forrest Griffin tweeted whatever the hell he tweeted, you know, Dana called him right away and said, "Hey, what are you doing? Are you crazy?" And Forrest explained to him exactly everything that happened. And, you know, and Dana said, "Oh, okay, I understand. You know what? I get it. I'm with you." When Rampage slammed into a woman and caused her a miscarriage, you know, Dana called him too and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he said, "Man, I was stressed and I was high on rock stars." And he said, "Oh, okay, you know, I get it. We didn't get a phone call. We just got a cut letter." So this just affects. As far as drawing conclusions, I mean, this, you know, everybody can draw their own conclusions. I don't know.
Have you tried to reach out to Dana or maybe Scott Coker or anyone else in Zuffa to give your side of the story?
I sent Dana a text message and just said that we'd like to at least, you know, give our side of the story. And, you know, the reply was Sean Shelby calling me and telling me we've been cut and then receiving a cut letter. So.
And did you know, he, I mean, obviously Sean is the matchmaker for Strikeforce and you could sort of plead your case, but did he even give you the opportunity to plead your case, or was this sort of just, you know, the call?
No, I believe he was just calling in a kind of a message delivery capacity and just to let us know, just inform us that Powers and B have decided to cut Mo. Listen, here's the bottom line. UFC is a privately held company ran by Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta. They can cut whoever the hell they want to cut. They can do whatever they want to do. You know, who am I to argue with that? This is their company. And I've said all along, if you don't like the rules, then don't be part of it. So I have no problem with double standards within the company or, you know, can I point fingers? Yes, of course. I mean, all these people say crazy stuff. And some get cut, some get reprimanded, some get cut and get resigned. Like I said, UFC is a privately held company responsible only to the shareholders, which are Lorenzo, Fertitta, Dana White, and then, you know, whoever that diamond company is. So as long as they're all happy with the decision, there's nothing I can do about it. You know what I mean? I mean, people get fired for all kinds of reasons. That's fine. My outrage is with the Athletic Commission and a grown woman who, with sarcasm, with deliberate intentions to insult, slows down the pace of her conversation and asks a grown man in the middle of an Athletic Commission hearing if he speaks, reads, and understands English, if he owns a computer, and if he has an email address. The content of that conversation is irrelevant. And that's what people are, "Wow, but what's the content?" It doesn't matter. At no point, I think, anyone can doubt the fact that Molawal commands English. Is that not true? If the commissioner is trying to point out the fact that some of his answers may be incomplete or inappropriate, or there might be something about this proceeding that he may not understand, hopefully she speaks enough English to articulate herself properly and just say, "Mr. Lawal, are any of these questions confusing you? Is there a legal jargon in these forms that you may not fully understand? Do we need to do X, Y, and Z?" Don't ask a grown man if you speak English 20 minutes into a hearing, which is entirely conducted in English. That is disrespectful, unprofessional, and to me, personally, racist, and I'm white. To me, that's racist. She didn't ask Mike Pyle if he speaks English, and he was mumbling, you know, incoherent sentences that weren't exactly articulated in the most Oxford-like format. Nobody asked him if he speaks English.
For those that weren't there, Mike, for those that weren't there, tell us how this came. Like, did something happen for her?
Well, what happened is the commission started concentrating. You have to understand it. The conversation is kind of bouncing back and forth, right? So they're asking questions, and then the next commissioner asks questions, and then we answer, and then it just kind of goes around. So you know, there's a transcript, a recorded transcript, which I believe MMA Weekly is about to publish, where people can go listen to the audio themselves and then draw their own conclusions. But the bottom line was that the commission was concentrating their interest on the pre-fight license application, where Mo failed to disclose the fact that he was getting rooster cartilage inserted in him and took an Advil and you know, was taking vitamins B, C, and E and what have you. And the commission was trying to, the commissioners in their questioning were trying to narrow down why he did not put any of that information on. And truth be said, I'm the one who filled it out. And I told him this. I said, listen, I filled it out and I didn't pay attention to that form at all. And, you know, their position was, well, there's two signatures on here. You're responsible for it. Nobody's denying that. You know what I mean? I mean, I think from the beginning of this thing, the one thing that cannot be accused of, either me or Mo, is denying responsibility or denying the facts of these allegations. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't try to entrap me. I didn't say we didn't do it. The only reason we went up there was out of to extend the courtesy and respect to the commission and to present our case so that they may consider mitigating circumstances, which I believe are relevant. If they believe they're irrelevant, that's fine. They obviously showed with their ruling that it was irrelevant. That's fine, too. But you don't cross the line. And when you start asking a grown man who was born in Tennessee, who was raised in Dallas, Texas, and who has been sitting here for 25 minutes and speaking English to you just fine, you don't tell him in a condescending, childlike manner, enunciating every word, if he understands, reads, and speaks English to make your point. You should be a little more professional than that. And if he has a problem with it, then by God, it's his constitutional right to air that grievance and say it. And if Bill Maher can say that George Bush is a fucking moron for 8 years, then by God, somebody can call this woman a bitch once in a great while. That's not the end of the goddamn world. And for everybody to get up in arms about it, misunderstanding the fact. And then you have a whole, I'm sorry, it may sound like a rant, but if you actually listen to what I'm saying and pay attention to it, it's not all nonsense. And then you have all these idiots that read about this and start going, oh, the Wallace playing the race game. Hold on. Did he say I was accused of something because I'm black? Did he say I was found guilty because I was black? No. He just said, extend me some courtesy. I am here with two pipes running out of my goddamn knee, draining shit out of it. And right before I got here, I was injecting antibiotics into my body because I'm down to 190 pounds and I'm sick. But I flew over here to give you the courtesy of a face-to-face conversation because I'm showing respect to this commission. And I started, my opening statement was, I would like to apologize for my attire. I would have liked to have dressed appropriately, but my current medical condition doesn't permit it. And halfway through it, you're going to antagonize me with, do I speak English? And everybody's okay with it? It's fine. My God, how dare he speak like that to the commissioner? Is commissioner not a public official, public servant? Do they not get paid from tax money and licenses collected from athletes? Or are they appointed by the Pope? And what makes that commissioner any different than Steve Mazzagatti, who can be called a moron every other day?
What was King Mo's response when she asked him that?
He said, yes, of course I speak English. I really don't understand what you're saying. He didn't say a word.
And did you feel like did you feel like the mood had changed at that point? Because, I mean,
no.
Like you said, a question no. like that. Okay, so they just sort of went along and,
no.
and continued.
No, everybody's cool with it. No, yeah. No. I mean, like I said, it's up to interpretation. Do I think that other members of this panel noticed that this woman is diving into a deep pool that she shouldn't be? Of course. But did we change our attitude? No. Did we want to? You want to talk about reaction? I wanted to get up and just walk out of there and say, this hearing is over. You guys can do whatever you want to do. But at no point can an athletic commission disciplinary action turn into a disrespectful lecturing and questioning of man's language abilities when he was born in America. This is just unacceptable. That's what I wanted to do, was get up and walk away. and tell her right there, yes, bitch, not only does he speak English, he actually graduated from Oklahoma State University. If you would have read the goddamn brief I gave your asses over a month and a half ago, you would have known all this and wouldn't be asking these stupid questions.
Do you think they read it?
But of course they didn't. They thought that Decca and Drastanolone are the same thing. And basically, all that shit, none of that stuff really matters. And they thought that the bottle actually said it was an anabolic steroid because they found the website, same one you found, same one I showed you that wasn't registered till a year after. We're not going to get into the whole list because, listen, right. I don't want to make it sound like I'm looking for excuses. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I know. They believe that an athlete should check on daily basis, and nobody else has responsibility to this. And there's no mitigating circumstances, and it's easy to just say, listen, you're responsible for what you put in your mouth. That's fine. Like I said, we accepted their outrageous $40,000 fine for a first-time offense of an athlete that has never tested positive in 12 years of testing. Listen, everybody has their opinions. Some people think, you know, you do the crime, do the time. Did not question one thing. I just said, I think this fine is a little excessive, in my opinion. People have been busted with way more than that and walked away with $2,500 fines. You're taking half of this man's purse. Half. Before taxes and before other expenses that he would have had to pay, which means he basically fought for free. And then he went through 16 surgeries since then, for which he's paying out of his pocket. Mullawal is sitting in his eyeballs to the bills. Meanwhile, Rampage goes on, bitches about this, that, and the other, calls everybody an asshole and says he wants to quit, gets his knees fixed. Listen, do I say anything? No. Hey, whatever. He knows where he is at on the totem pole. But that doesn't mean that he needs to sit there and be insulted by this woman for no reason.
And for the record,
and that will not be tolerated. That is unexcusable. And the fact that his bosses didn't even bother to find out what's going on, what were the circumstances under which this happened, is also very upsetting. There's nothing I can do about it, and it is what it is. But it's very upsetting.
And for the record, the commissioner in question, the one that we're talking about, the woman, her name is Pat Lundvall. I'm wondering, you've been around this sport a very long time. Have you ever dealt with her? Have you ever heard from her? Have you ever seen her in action? Is this something that she's been known to do in the past?
I have no idea. I have never met this woman in my life. For all I know, she's the most charming person in the world, and today just wasn't her day. You know, I don't know. But all I know is that if they demand professionalism and responsibility from the athletes which they regulate, then they, by God, need to provide the same kind of responsibility and professionalism in return. What's good for the gander is good for the geese.
Right.
You can't just demand that he be responsible for everything he does and then sit there and talk to him like he's a three-year-old kid. This is unacceptable. Like I said, we're not even making a race case out of it.
Right.
This is just pure unprofessionalism.
And Mike, the tweet where he called her, you know, the I guess sort of derogatory word is no longer there. It was deleted. Who instructed Mo to delete this tweet?
I have no idea. You have to ask Mo that. I didn't. Here's the bottom line. Should he have called her a bitch? No, of course. No person should be called a bitch. And, you know, does he feel bad for it? Yes. Can you blame a guy who has, you know, let's look at mitigating circumstances, since, you know, the UFC is very big at making sure they understand their athletes' backgrounds and what have you. Mo's mother is from Nigeria. Since childhood, by many people in Tennessee, in Texas, and everywhere, when they see his first name, Adekunle, they automatically assume that he fell off the boat. And they go, hey, you speak English, or do you speak Ebonics, or do you speak Jive, or is there some special language we need to talk to you on? So this is his background. Now, since January 11th of this year, this man has gone through 16 surgeries. We're not talking about they swab him with a cotton swab and send him home. We're talking about they put him to sleep for 4 hours, and they go in there and they sculpt it and they scape it. And he has went from 220 pounds to 188 pounds. And at one point he was told, there's a possibility you're going to lose your leg. And at one point he was told, we have no fucking clue what is in you that's causing all this to happen. He flew up here with a drain pipe inserted in his goddamn knee on crutches, having taken antibiotics on the road. We actually sat in a rental car in a parking lot to administer his antibiotics. And he walks into this hearing, and his only intent is to show respect to the commission, to appear in front of the commission, and to tell them what's going on. And the very first thing that the commissioner says, the chairman of the commission says, is, Mr. Lawal, we want to make sure of the following, that you understand the charges against you, that you understand you can be represented by an attorney, that you understand the X, Y, and Z, and B, and blah, 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 blah. And with all the things understood, you still wish to proceed. I'm pretty sure at this point we have established his competency.
Right.
And this man sits there, and 20 minutes into this conversation, a woman that's been condescending from the very beginning, which is fine. You know what? Listen, you want to inquire, you want to ask questions, that's your right. You want to be less than pleasant, that's fine also. But you start crossing a line when you start implying that this guy's a moron and that he may not speak English simply because you can't pronounce his first name. And for Keith Kaiser to say, well, this is a standard procedure to establish that an athlete understands what's going on, 25 minutes, 20 minutes into the hearing, now you're going to... So you're telling me a police officer can arrest a person, question him, and 20 minutes later tell him, oh, by the way, you have the right to remain silent and not answer questions, just in case you didn't know. Come on. That's the procedure? Come on. And this entire conversation proceeding to her asking this question was also conducted in English. So all of a sudden, she figured maybe this guy doesn't speak English? Come on. This is ridiculous. And he can't get upset over it? I mean, come on. He can't vent over it a little bit?
Mike, when he sent out that tweet, did you think that anything was going to happen? Did you think to yourself, maybe he shouldn't say this, that this may be viewed this way, and it could be more bad news for him?
He asked me before he sent out a tweet. He said, man, that was some racist shit. Do you think I should tweet about this bitch? And I didn't realize he was actually going to put word bitch in there. Hmm. So I said, yeah, of course. I mean, you know, this is America, right? This isn't fucking China.
Right.
It's your opinion. You felt disrespected and you felt that it was racially motivated and mainly because you probably couldn't pronounce your name. Sure. I didn't know he was going to include word bitch in it, but like I said, you know, are we going to ruin a guy's life over that? I mean, you want to talk about mitigating circumstances to his explosion? I think it's pretty compelling. But nobody wants to hear it, which is fine also. Like I said, I cannot, you know, Zufa is a private company. They can do what they want. But that doesn't change the fact of what that woman did. And it doesn't change the fact that we need to not hold these people sacred because they hold in the balance, in their hands, your right to fight or not to fight. Hey, fine me, suspend me, I'll live out my suspension, I'll pay my fines. Don't sit here and insult me. That's not necessary. And then cover it up, pretend like this is the way it's supposed to be, and blame the guy for it.
Mike, let's talk bigger picture here, especially I'd like to do this with someone who's been around this sport for a long time. Do you think that it's time? I mean, we're gonna keep hearing about these stories. It's going to keep happening with social media getting bigger. Do you think that it's time that Zufa, the biggest organization in our sport, makes it clear what you can and cannot do, especially when it comes to social media, especially when it comes to Twitter? Because right now it seems like it's so vague. You never know how they're going to react to something.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't know that they can. I mean, you know, I don't think Zufa is in a position to, come up with strict guidelines to tell people what they can and cannot say. They can provide general broad guidelines and use their judgment for the rest. You know what I mean? And that's why I said, hey, am I bitter that they cut him? No, it's their right. It's their company. And if they feel like this was, you know, this warranted him getting cut, no problem. My problem is with what that commissioner said and the fact that everybody's ignoring it and nobody cares about it. And it's a normal thing. And everybody's worried about the fact that she was called a bitch. Well, you should have been there at that commission meeting because she was being a bitch.
So you don't think that they should make it clear what you can and cannot do?
Well, I mean, literally, I mean, can you regulate thought? It's impossible. They can say don't use derogatory words.
Yeah.
I mean, they can make, you know, some guidelines. Yeah, I mean, they can. They can if they want to, but at the same time, you know, then Chael Sonnen would have to shut up forever. Because every other word out of his mouth comes out as a derogatory comment, but that's to promote the fight. Now, they can't say, okay, well, you can promote the fight, you can talk whatever you want, but if you're insulting a commissioner, then don't you, you know, come on. I mean, even if they want to say, they're not going to put that in writing. I mean, you can get sued over that shit. So bottom line is no, but they could have a little more consistency in determining what happens, or, you know, I really don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, who am I to tell Zuffa what they need to be doing, what they don't need to be doing? They can do whatever they want to do, so long as people are signing their contracts and fighting, then they're happy with it.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Let me ask you this. Do you think it's time, you know, I said to Ben, I wish someone like Kurt Flood could see what is going on in MMA and get his thoughts on it. Kurt Flood being the man who challenged MLB and really blazed the trail for free agency and gave players a lot more freedom. And now, of course, with the Players Association and all sports, major team sports have unions. In MMA, there aren't 30 owners. There's essentially one owner, and the rules are very much different. Do you think it's time? And I brought up guys like Randy Couture, Pat Miletich, the stars of yesterday who are now still very influential but who no longer work for any organization, to band together and to get these guys to follow suit, to have some sort of players association, because I have to think that if there was some sort of fighters association, there could be a case to be made in a situation like this. Now there isn't one, and a guy like King Mo, a guy like Miguel Torres gets fired, and there really isn't much for them to do. Do you think it's time that these guys come together and create something like this?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a big fan of unions. I think unions are by design a very noble organization, but considering the humans are involved, they become nothing more than corrupt just recently I read an article about the union that was busted because the LA Coliseum was paying them off for labor, blah, blah, blah. And if you remember, we promoted a Dynamite event there when I was working with K1, and I guess almost over $200,000 of that money went to the union as well. So unions aren't exactly saints.
I'm not saying a union per se, but
Am I a big advocate of a union? No, I think they all have their own agendas and their own what have yous. Am I an advocate of that something needs to happen with the fighters? Yes, I mean, something needs to happen just to balance out the scale a little bit. You know what I mean? It's just, but here's a problem that people refuse to acknowledge. UFC is not a sports league. It's a privately held company that promotes fighting events. Okay? Despite of what you're being told, this is a sport, we're a sport, this is not a sports league. It's a privately held company. It's not the NFL. NFL is a conglomerate of 28 owners that have their own companies, that have their own players. And I guarantee you, if Peyton Manning said tomorrow in the news that the NFL commissioner is a douchebag, he's not going to get cut from... Didn't he just go to Broncos?
Yes.
Wherever he's at. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You said
he's just not going to have Peyton Manning. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So what needs to happen? I don't know. I really don't. You know what I mean? I really don't. I mean, it's, you know, something needs to happen. I know for most certainly, you know, one of the things that probably should happen is that these people shouldn't be signing 3-4 year contracts without the ability to go anywhere else. And, you know, be able to be out there on a market. And even though there's really nobody there that can support to do it, but if stars become available, there's plenty of people with money. You know what I mean? They can start to put fights together, and they might give fighters a little more flexibility. I don't really know. I mean, bottom line is, you know, for right now, it is what it is. And like I said, if you don't like it, don't sign on a dotted line.
Let's look ahead from this ugly situation. He got the 9-month suspension today. It's retroactive of his fight back in January.
Yeah, it comes out in September.
Right, and plus he's obviously not healthy, so if, you know, the timing sort of works out for him on that front. Where do you think he goes from here? There are people, you know, saying online that they think this is the Overeem situation all over again, where he's getting released from Strikeforce only to, you know, re-sign with the UFC. Is that what's going on here, or is, in your opinion, King Mo's days of fighting for Zuffa, at least for now, over?
I think King Mo's days of fighting for Zuffa, at least at this immediate juncture, are probably over, because his value to them is very little. I mean, what does he do? Contribute to ratings on Strikeforce card? It's no big deal. He hasn't gotten any huge pay-per-views done. He hasn't, you know, he's not ranked in top 10 light heavyweights. He's, you know, so I think for right now, you know, they cut him for a reason, because it really, you know, whatever. I mean, he pissed off the wrong person. You know what I mean? Who would you rather have pissed off, King Mo or a commissioner that you have to work with on almost daily basis? So I think he's probably done with, at least for now. I mean, he'd have to do something really phenomenal, you know, and be the talk of town. He has to become like the Hector Lombard of 205 division,
right,
for people to finally go, okay, King Mo has knocked out every 205er and every heavyweight that's floating in the world outside of Zuffa. There's only one, you know, thing left. And, you know, with time, maybe he'll have a chance to go back. Maybe he won't. I don't really know. You know, but once again, just like with supplements, when you open your mouth, that's the risk you take. And you know, be a man and live up to it. I mean, I'm talking to you right now. There's probably consequences to that. But I don't care, because I'm not making shit up. Everything I say is the truth. And if I have to book guys for $3,000 for the rest of my life on every emerging small show to make a living, that's fine too. I don't care. I didn't want to look in a mirror and know that I'm enjoying what I'm seeing.
So you think he's going to have to go fight elsewhere? Can a guy like King Mo make a career elsewhere? You know the landscape right now. I mean, in North America, there's Bellator.
Well, is he going to take a pay cut? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, this thing happened today, so it's not like I have a spare career for him just sitting around. I mean, Mo's pretty good at boxing. He can entertain that idea. You know, there's some money to be made there. Bellator. Bellator is an option. ONE FC is an option if they can, you know, if they have the money. Signing with multiple organizations with various territories is an option. I mean, they're all options. Are they better options than what he had? No, of course not. But, you know, there are options. I mean, he's not going to starve to death.
And also, just to be clear, I mean, right now, is that even the game plan, or are you still going to try to maybe talk to Dana, talk to someone in Zuffa?
Well, I got a cut letter today. I mean, okay. Like I said, I got a cut letter today. I'm not on Dana's speed dial, and Dana's not on my speed dial. You know what I mean? We don't roll like that. So I don't have the luxury of picking up a phone call like some of the more prominent managers do, and just calling up Dana and being like, hey, you know, let's just have a friendly chat. So I don't know. I'll probably never talk to Dana about this. You know, he's made up his mind and moved on. I was told that this was approved by Dana and Lorenzo. So, you know, obviously they're not out of town and didn't know this was going on.
Right. Well, Mike, I appreciate the time. I know it's a very tough day for you. I know it's a tough day for King Mo. Would love to talk to him in the future as well. And definitely appreciate you being so very honest, as always, with you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Sorry to hear about the news. Of course, right. I think we've been, the King Mo saga this year has been a very, very, you know, sort of turbulent one. And
yeah, it is definitely not our year. Yeah, you know, we'll see what happens.
But we appreciate the time, and best of luck to you guys.
Thanks. Bye.